Whether his night is perceptive, his vision is merciless. He spares himself nothing, and he spares you nothing. Etheridge, I wish, I say here, I could order your entire program. Don't let us lack hard rock. Don't let us lack the heart-catching odd beauty, the nourishing heartbreak of the idea of ancestry. Long ago, I wrote a little poem called Truth, identifying truth as sunshine, the opening two lines of which were, "And if sun comes, how shall we greet him?" Well, Etheridge replied to that. "The sun came, Miss Brooks, after all the night years. He came spitting fire from his lips, and we flipped, we goofed the whole thing. It looks like our ears were not equipped for the fierce hammering." Will you forgive me, Etheridge, for reading that much of it? If you choose, you can read the rest of it. I'd like to read it all, but that would be too cruel. "Many, many visions visited your soul, Etheridge Knight, and they educated you. They vaulted you. Come here and open your mouth."
Well, as the old Baptist preachers say, where I come from, I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad all of y'all are here. I'm glad to be invited here. I'm especially glad to be introduced by Gwendolyn and to read with Donald Hall, because Gwendolyn used to come down to the penitentiary and talk to me about poetry. And when I got out of the penitentiary, Donald Hall was one of the first teachers to invite me to read. And I've been professing poetry ever since. What I'd like to do is, since this is Black History Month, I know y'all didn't come here thinking you're going to get a Black History lesson, did you? This first poem is a folk poem. It's a parody. "He paid me seven. Our Father, which art in heaven, white man owe me 11, and he paid me seven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And if I hadn't have took that, I wouldn't have got none." This next poem is a poem out of folk poems. It's called "Wild Negro Bill." "I was Wild Negro Bill from Red Pepper Hill. I never did work and I never will. I done killed the boss, I done knocked down the horse, I done eat raw goose without applesauce. I was Runaway Bill, I know they might kill, but old master ain't caught me and he never will." Now I'd like to read you some of my own poems. The first one, "Hard Rock Returns to Prison from the Hospital for the Criminal Insane." Hard Rock was known not to take no shit from nobody, and he had the scars to prove it. Split purple lips, lumped ears, welts above his yellow eyes, and one long scar that cut across his temple and plowed through a thick canopy of kinky hair. The word was that Hard Rock wasn't a mean nigger anymore, that the doctors had bored a hole in his head, cut out part of his brain, and shot electricity through the rest. When they brought Hard Rock back, handcuffed and chained, he was turned loose like a freshly gelded stallion to try his new status. And we all waited and watched, like Indians at a corral, to see if the word was true. As we waited, we wrapped ourselves in the cloak of his exploits. Man, the last time it took 8 screws to put him in the hole. Yeah, remember when he smacked the captain with his dinner tray? He set the record for time in the hole, 67 straight days. Old Hard Rock, man, that's one crazy nigga. And then the jewel of a myth that Hard Rock had once bit a screw on the thumb and poisoned him with syphilitic spit. The testing came to see if Hard Rock was really tame. A hillbilly called him a black son of a bitch and didn't lose his teeth. A screw who knew Hard Rock from before shook him down and barked in his face. And Hard Rock did nothing, just grinned and looked silly, his eyes empty like knot holes in a fence. And even after we discovered that it took Hard Rock exactly 3 minutes to tell you his first name, we told ourselves that he had just wised up, was being cool. But we could not fool ourselves for long, and we turned away, our eyes on the ground, crushed. He had been our destroyer, the doer of things we dreamed of doing, but could not bring ourselves to do. The fears of years, like a biting whip, had cut grooves too deeply across our backs. This next one is titled, He Sees Through Stone. He sees through stone. He has the secret eyes, this old black one who under prison skies sits pressed by the sun against the western wall, his pipe between purple gums. The years fall like overripe plums, bursting red flush on the dark earth. His time is not my time, but I have known him in a time gone. He led me trembling cold into the dark forest, taught me the secret rites to make it with a woman, to be true to my brothers, to make my spear drink the blood of my enemies. Now black cats circle him, flash white teeth, snarl at the air, mashing green grass beneath shining muscles, ears peeling his words. He smiles, he knows the hunt, the enemy. He has the secret eyes, he sees through stone. I started making up this poem when I was in solitary one time. After being called by a number for 5 years, 30,562, I was beginning to forget who I was. The idea of ancestry. Taped to the wall of my cell are 47 pictures, 47 black faces. My father, mother, grandmothers, one dead, grandfathers, both dead, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins, first and second, nieces and nephews. They stare across the space at me, sprawling on my bunk. I know their dark eyes, they know mine. I know their style. They know mine. I am all of them. They are all of me. They are farmers. I am a thief. I am me. They are thee. I have at one time or another been in love with my mother, one grandmother, 2 sisters, 2 aunts, 1 went to the asylum, and 5 cousins. I am now in love with a 7-year-old niece. She sends me letters written in large block print, and her picture is the only one that smiles at me. I have the same name as 1 grandfather, 3 cousins, 3 nephews, and 1 uncle. The uncle disappeared when he was 15, just took off and caught a freight, they say. He's discussed each year when the family has a reunion. He causes uneasiness in the clan. He is an empty space. My father's mother, who is 93 and who keeps the family Bible with everybody's birth dates and death dates in it, always mentions him. There's no place in her Bible for whereabouts unknown. Each fall, the graves of my grandfathers call me. The brown hills and red gullies of Mississippi send out their electric messages, galvanizing my genes. Last year, like a salmon quitting the cold ocean, leaping and bucking up his birth stream, I hitchhiked my way from L.A. with 16 caps in my pocket and a monkey on my back. And I almost kicked it with the kinfolk. I walked barefooted in my grandmother's backyard. I smelled the old land and the woods. I sipped corn whiskey from fruit jars with the men. I flirted with the women. I had a ball till the caps ran out and my habit came down. That night, I looked at my grandmother and split. My guts were screaming for junk, but I was almost contented. I had almost caught up with me. The next day in Memphis, I cracked a croaker's crib for a fix. This year, there is a gray stone wall damming my stream, and when the falling leaves stir my jeans, I pace my cell, a flop on my bunk, and stare at 47 black faces across the space. I am all of them, they are all of me. I am me, they are thee, and I have no sons to float in the space between. A WASP woman visits a black junkie in prison. I tell the story of how I made this poem up. There are some men in prison who are in there for so long they don't receive any mail or visits, and there was this group of women who would come and visit with them just for some kind of human contact. And one day I got a message. A runner came and told me, "Hey, Knight, you got a visit." And I went and looked out in the visiting room, and I didn't see a black face out there. So I said, "I ain't got no visits." So we started to bickering. After explanations and regulations, he walked warily in. Black hair covered his chin, subscribing to villainous ideal. "This cannot be real," he thought. "This is a classical mistake. This is a cake baked with embarrassing icing. Somebody's got, likely as not, a big fat tongue in cheek. What have I to do with a prim blue and proper-blooded lady? Christ indeed has risen when a junkie in prison visits with a WASP woman. Hold your stupid face, man. Learn a little grace, man. Drop a notch that sacred shield. She might have good reason, like I was in prison and ye visited me not, or some such. So sweep clear anachronistic fear, fight the fog, and use no hot words." After the seating and the greeting, they fished for a denominator, common or uncommon, and could only summon up the fact that both were human. "Be at ease, man. Try to please, man. The lady is as lost as you." "You got children, ma'am?" he said aloud. The thrust broke the dam, and their lines wiggled in the water. She offered no pills to cure his many ills, no compact sermons, but small and funny talk. "My baby began to walk, simply cannot keep his room clean." Her chatter sparked no resurrection, and truly no shackles were shaken. But after she had taken her leave, he walked softly, and for hours used no hot words. I like to make up haiku. Gwendolyn introduced me to haiku. Here's one. "Beyond this green field, men assault the trees, the earth, building a prison." This next poem, for Freckleface Gerald, I made it up after a young man, 16 years old, had been raped in the prison laundry by some of the older convicts. For Freckleface Gerald, "Now you take old Rufus. He beat drums, was free and funky under the arms, fucked white girls, jumped off a bridge, and thought nothing of the sacrilege. He copped out, and he was over 21. Take Gerald. 16 years, hadn't even done a good job on his voice. He didn't even know how to talk tough or how to hide the glow of life before he was thrown in as pig meat for the buzzards to eat. Gerald, who had no memory or hope of copper hot lips, of firm upthrusting thighs to reinforce his flow, let tall walls and buzzards change the course of his river from south to north. No safety in numbers like back on the block. Two's a plenty. Three, definitely not. Four, you all Muslims. Five, you were planning a race riot. Plus, Gerald could never quite win with his precise speech and innocent grin the trust and fists of the young black cats. Gerald, sun-kissed 10,000 times on the nose and cheeks, didn't stand a chance. Didn't even know that the loss of his balls had been plotted years in advance by wiser and bigger buzzards than those who now hover above his track and at night light upon his back. This next one, I call it my fun poem, although it really ain't too funny. But it's a fact that in prison, in the springtime, the escape rate goes up. When the flowers and birds start singing, the young guys start running off. And this warden I had evidently didn't understand biology, so he was upset. The warden said to me the other day, innocently, I think, "Say, Etheridge, why come the black boys don't run off like the white boys do?" I lowered my jaw and scratched my head and said, innocently, I think, "Well, sir, I ain't for sure, but I reckon it's 'cause we ain't got nowheres to run to." I think I'll end the prison thing. It's getting a little depressing with this. Rehabilitation and treatment in the prisons of America. The convict strolled into the prison administration building to get assistance and counseling for his personal problems. Inside the main door were several other doors proclaiming doctor, lawyer, teacher, counselor, preacher, therapist. He chose the proper door and was confronted with two more doors, custody and treatment. He chose treatment, went in, and was confronted with two more doors, first offender, previous offender. Again, he chose the proper door, and again, two doors, Democrat and Republican. He was a Democrat, so he rushed through that door and ran smack into two more doors, black and white. He was black, so he rushed through that door and fell 9 stories to the street. It's cold. Yeah, that's cold. This next poem is titled "Belly Song for the Daytop Family," and it begins with some lines by Sarah Mansfield. Those lines go, "You have made something out of the sea that blew and rolled you on its salt, bitter lips. It nearly swallowed you. But I hear you are tough and harder to swallow than most." Belly song. And I must admit that the sea in you has sung to the sea in me. And I must admit that the sea in me has fallen in love with the sea in you, because you have made something out of the sea that nearly swallowed you. And this poem I give to you. This poem is a song I sing to you from the bottom of the sea in my belly. This poem is a song about feelings, about the bone of feeling, about the stone of feeling, and the feather of feeling. This poem is a death chant and a gravestone and a prayer for the dead, for young Jackie Robinson, a moving black warrior who walked among us with a wide stride and heavy heels, moving through the blood and mud and shit of Vietnam, moving through the blood and mud and dope of America, for Jackie, who was a song and a stone and a feather of feeling, now dead and gone in this month of love. And this poem is for me and the days that lay in the back of my mind when the sea rose up to swallow me and the streets I walked were lonely streets, were stone cold streets. This poem is for me and the nights when I wrapped my feelings in a sheet of ice and stared at the stars through iron bars and cried in the middle of my eyes. This poem is for me and my woman and the yesterdays when she opened to me like a flower and I fell on her like a stone. I fell on her like a stone. And now, in my 40th year, I have come here to this house of feelings, to this singing sea. And I must admit that the sea in me has fallen in love with the sea in you. Because the sea that now sings in you is the same sea that nearly swallowed you and me too. I've been living recently in the same state with Dawn. It's been cold up there. And this friend that I was staying with, I'd wake up every morning, I'd groan, and he'd say, well, don't struggle with it, man. I said, just go with it. Anyway, I made up this haiku. Frozen lakes, snowy mountains, flinty sky. Oh, to hear the whippoorwills cry. Yellow moon rise, hounds howl, my daughter weds soon, my heart is hollow. 2 hours I've walked this Tulsa rain, in her house my wife sleeps snoring. Sigh, cry, broken-hearted woman alone, he smiled, stole your welfare check. Hey, mister, uh-huh. You a poet, man, uh-huh. Me too, uh-huh, uh-huh. The last poem is titled Circling the Darlings for my daughter, Tandy. You came to be in the month of Malcolm, and the rain fell with a fierce gentleness like a martyr's tears on the streets of Manhattan when your light was lit. And the city sang you welcome. Now I sit trembling in your presence. 14 years have brought the moon blood, the roundness, the girl giggles. We are touched tender in our fears. You break my eyes with your beauty. Oh, baby, I love you. Do not listen to the lies of old men who fear your power, who preach that you were born in sin. A flower is moral by its own flowering. Reach always within for the music and the dance and the circling. O Tandiwe, my beloved of this land, your spring will come early, and when the earth begins its humming, begin your dance with men with a grin and a grace of whirling. Your place is neither ahead nor behind, neither right nor left. The world is round. Make the sound of your breathing a silver bell at midnight or the chilling wet of the morning dew. You break my eyes with your beauty. Oh, baby, I love you. Thank you. The sun came. The sun came, Miss Brooks, after all the night years. He came spitting fire from his lips, and we flipped. We goofed the whole thing. It looks like our ears were not equipped for the fierce hammering. And now the sun has gone, has bled red, weeping behind the hills. Again, the night year shadows form. But beneath the placid faces a storm rages. The rays of red have pierced the deep, have struck the core. We cannot sleep. The shadows sing, Malcolm, Malcolm, Malcolm. The darkness ain't like before. The sun came, Miss Brooks, and we goofed the whole thing, I think, though ain't no vision visited my cell. To the man who sidled up to me and asked, How long you in for, buddy? You need lightning to strike the circle of the moon. Your teeth falls click nicely. You are light bulb bright and acy doocy tight. Yours is the song of Massa, so kissed, just looking for a home. Jesus looking for a home. You need lightning to strike the circle of the moon. Your eyes sing empty songs. On the yard, a slim young fascist, fresh from the hole, slid into me, murdered me with his eyes, and said, "Man, why ain't you doing something?" All night I sat up, all night, wrote 5,000 words explaining how I was doing something. But the slim cat, beautiful fascist, didn't buy it, nor did I completely. To make a poem in prison. It is hard to make a poem in prison. The air lends itself not to the singer. The seasons creep by unseen and spark no fresh fires. Soft words are rare and drunk against the clang of keys. Wide eyes stare fat zeros and plea only for pity. But pity is not for the poet, yet poems must be primed. Here's not even sadness for singing, not even a beautiful rage. No birds are winging, the air is empty of laughter. And love, why love has flown, love has gone to glitten.